Straight Talk about vision loss with Mark Riccobono.
Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk here at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. This year has already turned out to be a fascinating year of new possibilities. You know, this summer we're having the first ever Junior Science Academy for students in grades 3 through 6, and the applications for that program are rolling in. There's lots of excitement across the country. We also saw this recently in a seminar that we did for NFB affiliates around how to build youth outreach programs based on the best practices we've developed here at the Jernigan Institute. More to come on that later. And of course, the beginning of the year always marks the time when we prepare for our annual Washington seminar. Lots happening in the legislature, in the Congress, here at the Institute, innovation all across the country. One important aspect of innovation and new possibilities that we want to talk about today is science. Tactile graphics, books, getting young people to imagine, touch for themselves, things that no one can see in astronomy particularly. So today we have with us author Noreen Grice. And Noreen is no stranger to the National Federation of the Blind. And recently we hosted here at the Jernigan Institute the launch of her new book, which I have right here, Touch the Invisible Sky. It's an intriguing title, and we'll talk some with Noreen about the title, what it means, and about the things she's working on. So, let's go meet Noreen. Noreen, welcome to Straight Talk.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's really a pleasure to have you here. I think we first met at the 2003 NFB National Convention.
Yes.
And here we are in 2008.
Yes,
so it's a long relationship, and as long as you've been with the NFB, maybe a little bit longer than that. Now, we have a special treat here that Noreen has helped make available for us, a video from the Space Telescope Science Institute to introduce you to who is Noreen Grice.
She wants others to see the universe as she sees it.
It's just something I've always felt kind of connected with. I think it's just looking up and thinking about places beyond the Earth, beyond where I was.
Well, our program today is called Into the Unknown.
Noreen Grice is a tour guide to the stars at Boston's Charles Hayden Planetarium. But her own life's journey hasn't been quite as scenic.
I spent a lot of time growing up in the Malden housing projects, actually, and there was certain times where it was kind of a rough area, and, you know, I was kind of afraid to go outside at night.
So young Noreen channeled her energy into schoolwork and a budding love for astronomy.
I just, you know, colored black for the space background, and I took some styrofoam balls and I cut them in half and I glued them. I made the asteroid belt here with some extra stuff.
Seventh grade projects like this one would be precursors of things to come.
If I tried hard enough, I could do anything.
When it came time to pick out a career, Noreen didn't take long. She was going to be an astronomy professor. But then one day something happened that would write her a different destiny.
I was doing a planetarium show at the Museum of Science in Boston.
Thank you.
And there were some blind people in line, and I didn't know what to do. I asked them how they liked the show. There was a long pause, and then they said, "This stunk." It left me feeling like, whoa, something just happened here, and why did that happen?
Noreen was hooked. She vowed to not only open the portals of a world, but also a universe to people who couldn't see well, or at all.
Growing up in the housing projects, there were a lot of times I didn't have access to things, or people would say, you're a project kid, you're not welcome here. I know what it's like to have, you know, barriers. And I thought, let me see if I can break down these barriers. I don't know how to do it, but I'll figure it out. So I remember I walked into the professor's office, Dr. Janes, and I said, I have an idea for my directed study. I'd like to write a book in astronomy for the blind. His reaction was sort of like, it was an uncomfortable pause.
That senior project would eventually be published.
It would be Noreen's first book, the first of five.
One book on astronomy is good, but five?
Well, could be 50.
Each time, Noreen takes us to a new frontier in the cosmos. In her latest book, she tackles the invisible universe, one that we can't even see with our own eyes.
So the visible image comes from the Hubble Space Telescope, so we know what it looks like to our eyes. But then the infrared image, you know, comes from the Spitzer Infrared Observatory. And then we've got the radio image, which is a completely different view, comes from a ground-based telescope. And then the X-ray view comes from the Chandra X-ray Observatory. Enjoy your stay at the Museum of Science, Boston. Sometimes you just feel like you're in the right place where you're supposed to be. I just feel like I'm doing the thing I'm supposed to do. And I was meant to be at the museum on that Saturday in 1984 taking tickets when this particular group approached.
If you would please open your book to where
a child will come up to me and say, I have your books, you know. I'm going to be an astronomer, or I'm going to be the first blind astronaut on Mars. They say it with conviction. They know what's going to happen, and I know what's going to happen.
Just like that day more than 20 years ago, when Noreen knew there must be a way to put the universe in everyone's hands. For the Space Telescope Science Institute, I'm Mary Estacion.
Great. Thank you to our friends at Space Telescope Science Institute for that. Noreen, clearly, five books, a lot of passion. What keeps that passion rolling?
I'm really interested in astronomy. I've always been, you know, interested in astronomy and space, and I think other people should have the opportunity to explore it and, you know, see if they like astronomy as a hobby or maybe even as a profession. So I just want to try to make those kind of resources available so people have opportunities to decide for themselves.
Now, Noreen, you, as I said, first came to an NFB national convention in 2003 and mm-hmm. have been to many others. And
everyone since 2003.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you got to keep coming back.
Yeah.
What fuels your passion about the national convention? What makes you keep coming back?
You know, it's really strange. It's something about going to the national convention. It's like a magnetic force. You know, once you're there, resistance is futile. You know, you want to go back, and there's a real excitement in the atmosphere, and it's just really hard to describe. But you know, once you're there, you just, you know, put it on your calendar automatically that you want to be there and you want to be part of the enthusiasm. You know, participate in it, talk to people. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, a little bit different than those scientific conferences, right?
In scientific conferences, a lot of times people are talking and everybody's listening and trying to figure out what was it that they said. But here, everybody's talking to each other, and that's what I really like.
You know? That's great. And of course, you have helped run many programs at the convention to introduce blind children to these books and to other parts of science. Of course, you have been involved in our Youth Slam mm-hmm. and our Science Academy as well. Mm-hmm. What do you like best about working directly with the blind students?
You know, a lot of times kids will say, I never really, you know, understood the phases of the moon. No one ever let me touch this. I didn't know I could, you know, we could take a picture with a telescope and then get the picture and I could feel it. I never thought astronomy was for me. And I remember at the Youth Slam, one of the students came up to me afterwards and said, you know what, I'm going to go to college and be an astronomer. I'm going to get a telescope. I'm going to get the camera. I'm going to get the swell form machine. I'm going to do this at home. I'm going to tell my parents that I'm going to do this. And I am going to college for astronomy. And I said, well, then I want you to contact. I gave him my business card. I said, you tell me when you're graduating, because I'm going to be there.
Yeah, excellent. So. And, of course, it's not just the kids, right? The adults who are doing this for the first time, blind adults get excited as well.
Yes, and one of the mentors at the Youth Slam, before the students arrived, he said to me, I don't really see how astronomy is for me. I don't see how anybody who can't see can do astronomy. And at the end of the Youth Slam, he was like one of the stellar mentors. He was awesome, and he was totally converted.
Yeah, that's great. Can you tell us a little bit about Touch the Invisible Sky, what it is, what the meaning is behind it, and how people can get their hands on it?
Okay. Touch the Invisible Sky is about multi-wavelength astronomy. Now, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if, you know, people think astronomy, okay, you look up at the sky, there's the stars, the planets, and the moon. But visible light is a very small part of all the light there is. In fact, like 90% of the light is invisible. And so you have to use special detectors. You have to use space telescopes with special filters to be able to see this kind of light. Mm-hmm. Human eyes cannot see X-rays and gamma rays and ultraviolet and infrared and radio. And that's the great part of this book. It's, you know, everybody is able to see this stuff for the first time.
So that's
it's
great.
Kind of invisible stuff.
Yeah, that's great. So vision's not a requirement for success. And that's the sort of the myth about astronomy, right, is that you look through a telescope, you use your eyes to do all the interesting work?
Well, yeah, and that's a common misconception because I think that's how it was years ago, but because technology has caught up, a lot of times astronomers don't even go to the observatories. They do observing remotely. They can operate the telescope from their computer in the office. And then the images are just relayed, you know, over the internet back to them, whether it's images or data. And so a lot of astronomy really isn't observational anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's something very significant in the way that you develop your books and test your images with blind people. Can you talk about the process that you've typically used to make sure that the images that you're putting together that are tactile are meaningful?
Yeah, when I'm looking at an astronomical picture, I sit in my home office, you know, at the computer, and I make a tracing of the image, and I try to outline the, I think, most dominant parts of the image, and I'll apply what I think will be a good texture for different parts of the image. I get it to the point where I think it will work, but I'm not really the final judge. So I send it out for testing, and a lot of times I've worked with Ben Wentworth in the Colorado School for the Blind, and you know, I'll send him the pictures and he'll share them with the students, and you know, they don't hold back their comments. If something is not right, they tell me, and that's good. I said, please be honest.
Right.
And if it's not right, tell me how you think I should make it right. Usually we go back and forth. I make swell form versions of the pictures, send them out with an accompanying text, and then it'll come back to me and I'll make revisions. And you know, sometimes a picture will work right off the bat. Sometimes a picture will never work. And usually it's about three iterations and the pictures will work. And I just go step by step through the books until, you know, the pictures are finalized and everybody says, this works for me. And
right.
Then I know we're good.
That's great. And you had some collaborating authors on this book as well.
Yes. On my other books, I'm the sole author. On this book, I work with Simon Steele, who is an astronomer at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, and Dora Stow, who is an astronomer at NASA headquarters. So they help provide the science content, and then I provide the overall format and some of the text for the book. So it was a nice collaboration.
Yeah, that's great. And this book is geared more toward older students?
Yeah, I think so. I would say this book is more towards around high school age because it deals with topics, you know, a little bit of physics and multi-wavelength and temperatures and wavelength and frequency, those kind of topics that usually come up in high school.
And how can people get their hands on this book?
This book is available through Ozone Publishing, and the Ozone Publishing website is ozonepublishing.net. So the book will be available in that way.
Excellent. And we do have some copies here at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute, and you can find more information about that soon on our website about how you might be able to get a copy from the Jernigan Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been very involved, as we said, at coming to our national conventions, but Noreen, I think you've done something significant, and that's you've really taken to heart the mission of the National Federation of the Blind, and you actually get involved at the local level where the grassroots action of the Federation happens. Can you give us a little straight talk about sort of your, why do you get so engaged in the National Federation of the Blind?
You know, I really didn't know about the National Federation of the Blind until I got working on my first NASA book, and the first time I walked into the doors of NFB was in January 2002, and you know, there was kind of an excitement. I couldn't quite, you know, put my finger on it, but I saw a lot of people working, and I saw a lot of blind professionals here, and you know, I thought these are real role models. And then when I got to the convention, I remember it was like, get out of the way. There was thousands of canes moving very quickly down the hallways.
Right.
I thought, this is amazing. This is great. This is,
I just felt like kindred spirits, I guess. And so I've also been an active member of the Central Connecticut chapter of NFB.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Is there anything in particular about your other four books? Maybe you can talk a little bit about those. And is there anything special about those? Does each one have sort of a different aha moment for you? Or
my first book, Touch the Stars, was published in 1990 by the Museum of Science Boston. Mm-hmm. And that really came just as a result of understanding that astronomy in the planetarium was not really accessible and welcoming to someone with a visual impairment. When I worked on that book, I wanted to make a book that made astronomy accessible to people who are blind, and so Touch the Stars has text pages in print and braille and pictures which are raised up, tactile pictures, but they're more like line drawings. And when I started working on the second book, Touch the Universe, about the Hubble Space Telescope, I knew those pictures were really colorful pictures, and why not retain the color in those pictures and make them tactile? Then you're opening it up to, I think, a broader audience, mm-hmm. because I'd like the sighted community to be able to use these books too. I think it's really nice to have a book that is like our book, a book for everybody. And so since Touch the Universe, I've made, Touch the Universe, Touch the Sun, the Little Moon Phase book, and now this new book, Touch the Invisible Sky. They all have color pictures, which are tactile. The pages are in print and braille. And, my dream is someday that anybody can walk into a store like Barnes & Noble and then just pick a book off the shelf, and it would be like that. It would be, like, totally accessible, and you don't have to worry about, well, where's the accessible version, because that's it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. We got the table here full of your books. Are you done?
No. I'm never done. I get ideas, and I sort of keep a list at home, my idea list and my idea book. And so more things are in the pipeline.
Okay.
I can't say what they are,
yeah.
But more items like this are in the pipeline, and you just have to keep an eye out for that.
That's great, and yeah. I'm confident that the National Federation of the Blind and our Jernigan Institute will be a partner in that. I'm sure mm-hmm. you'll be participating in our Junior Science Academy coming up and other activities.
Yes, I will be an astronomy instructor for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, are you going to be in Dallas at our national convention this
year? I'm planning on it.
That's great, that's great. Noreen, we want to also give you a special gift for being on Straight Talk. This is a National Federation of the Blind glass mm-hmm. thank you mug, and it has thank you written in braille there on the side.
Yes, it does.
I know that Noreen is a good example for people interested in doing projects with blind people. She comes to us, she's become a part of us, our movement, and she takes feedback from blind people very seriously in the mm-hmm. development of innovative products. Mm-hmm. So that's really great. Did you want to say anything in closing?
I think NFB is great. All the people I've met here are great. Encouraging, inspiring, and I just feel very fortunate to be a part of this organization.
Great. Well, thank you for being here on Straight Talk, and we look forward to many, many more books and activities together.
Sounds good.
Thanks. And that's it for this episode of Straight Talk. Be sure to look at our website to learn more about Touch the Invisible Sky and how you can get your hands on it. Thank you.
www.nfb.org 410-659-9314.